King Prithu abundantly worshipped the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was so merciful to him. While worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord, Prithu Maharaj gradually increased his ecstasy in devotional service. Purport. When various ecstasies appear in the body of a devotee, it is to be understood that his devotional service has become perfect. There are many types of transcendental ecstasies. the forms of crying, laughing, perspiring, falling down, and crying like a madman. All these symptoms are sometimes visible in the body of a devotee. They are called Ashta Satika Vikara, which means eight kinds of transcendental transformations. They're never to be imitated. When a devotee actually becomes perfect, these symptoms are visible on his body. The Lord is called Bhakta Vatsala, which means that he's inclined toward his pure devotee, Bhakta. Therefore, the transcendental ecstatic transactions between the Supreme Lord and his devotee is never like the activities of the sensual world. So the text again. Bhagavan Atta Vishvatma Krituno Ma Ri Tarana Samuj Jiva Bhaktya Vihita Jarnam Bhujara. King Prithu abundantly worshipped lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was so merciful to him. While worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord, Prithu Maharaj gradually increased his ecstasy in devotional service. Mom Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasai Vudhaya Srimade Bhakti Vidanta Swami Tiramane Namaste Sarasatim Devi Gauravani Vacharne Nirvishesha Srinivadi Pasadya Devi. Here it mentions that ecstasy is a symptom of absorption in Krishna consciousness. That it's not supposed, it can't be imitated. In a sense, just like if a woman is actually not pregnant, but she makes the sound of someone giving birth, it doesn't mean that she's going to give birth. So similarly, if one imitates a devotee, it doesn't mean that in ecstasy, it doesn't mean that actually anything is taking place, except for the imitation. Devotional service has been divided into six different symptoms, beginning with Sadhana Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti, and Prema Bhakti. The stage of Sadhana Bhakti, we have, does anyone know, nectar devotion? Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. What are the first two symptoms of sadhana bhakti? I'll give one of them to see if anyone can remember the other. Klesha Agni.
Subhada.
Subhada. So, Klesha Agni means it frees one from all kinds of sinful activities, or Klesha means miseries. There are five places, beginning with avidya, ignorance. And then what ignorance means we don't know who we are. And asmita. Asmita means we don't know who we are, but we think we're someone that we're not. So it's not good to know who we're not, or who we are. It's not good not to know who we are. But it's even worse to think ourselves to be something or we're not. If we're a human being and we start acting like a duck, then we're really in trouble. If every time someone asks us a question, we go, quack, then they call up certain number and they take this away. For everyone else is going quack, quack. So that's called asmita. We're actually spiritual souls, but we're acting like a duck. And then we have raga and dvesha. Ducks have certain things they're alike and certain things they don't like. And then there's abhinaveshita. When we quack like a duck, we act like a duck, then we become fearful because we're afraid that of losing our duck body. So this is called klesha agni, and subhada means that there is certain auspiciousness that comes with Krishna consciousness, especially as one comes to the mode of goodness. Then there's things like, it's auspicious for everyone, it's happiness in Krishna consciousness surpasses the happiness of anything in the material world. It's beneficial for everyone. So these are, it gives one all good qualities. So these are qualities of one who's engaged in sadhana bhakti seriously and has come almost to the spiritual stage of consciousness. So significant there is that it gives one happiness beyond any material happiness. So that means liberation from all material distress. And bhava bhakti, does anyone know the two qualities for bhava bhakti? One of them is moksha lagu krit. Sudurlabha. Yes, it's rarely achieved. So moksha lagu krit means that it derives the happiness even of liberation. So we have subhada at the state of liberation, there's no more material distress. But moksha lagu krit means that the happiness of spiritual life can be compared to, as it says on this planet, we experience a certain amount of happiness maximum, except in Australia, where everything's right and there's no worries. So there's a certain amount of happiness on this planet, but if we go to Indraloka, we can experience hundreds of times more happiness than on this planet. The duration of life is much longer, the food is, prasad is much better.
Couldn't be.
What's that?
Couldn't be.
Well, they have Australian cooks there. After leaving their body, all the Australian cooks went go to But if we go to Mara-loka, where the sages are performing sacrifice, then the happiness there is hundreds of times greater than Indra-loka, and the duration of life is also much longer. And progressively to Tapa-loka, Jnana-loka, Siddha-loka, then the increasing hundreds of times of the happiness. And we go to Brahma-loka, then it's thousands of times greater than on this planet. And we merge in Brahman, then it's happiness is thousands of times greater than on Brahma-loka. But if we multiply the happiness of Brahman millions of times, trillions of times, it says, it wouldn't equal to an atomic fraction of one atom in the ocean of pure devotional service. So meditate on that for a while. How much happiness there must be in pure devotional service. So that's called moksha lagu krit. Or as Pulanara said, naiva dvijaya pradratya vayataranyas pavira gayana mahamrita manmichita. When Pulanara was asked for benediction, he said, I don't actually need a benediction because whenever I chant your glories, I merge into an ocean of happiness, spiritual happiness. And I can't even imagine any more happiness than what I'm experiencing. And beyond Brahman, beyond the happiness of Bhava Bhakti, then Bhava Bhakti is one ray in the sunlight of prema. One light, one ray of sunlight is illuminating, but it can't be compared to the whole sunlight. So at prema, we have Sundarananda Vishvatma, which means, does anyone know? That the happiness is so great, the pleasure is so great, that one cannot even perceive material existence. And Krishna Akarshini, which means? What's that?
It attracts Krishna.
Yes, it's the only means to attract Krishna. Bhakti mam abhijanati yavanyasya smitadvada. It's the only means by which Krishna is attracted. Krishna is all spiritual. The material, spiritual world is spiritual. To be in the spiritual world, we also have to be spiritual. And there the happiness is so great, as they said, one can't even experience the material world anymore. So there are three different grades of happiness, depending upon the degree of absorption in Krishna consciousness. It's like if one puts an iron in the fire, and the iron gets hotter and hotter and hotter, and no gravity takes on the same qualities that the fire has. So that depending upon how hot the fire is and how long the iron rod is, will determine how hot the iron rod becomes. Steady, unalloyed, pure devotional service means that the iron rod, ourselves, our consciousness, is always immersed in thinking of Krishna's names and forms and quality and pastimes. And therefore one experiences the same level of happiness, the same quality of happiness as Krishna is experiencing. And he is the source of unlimited happiness. Now, externally the ecstasies may be shown, but this is not actually these are simply the symptoms of the ecstasy. It says, when one experiences the emotional ecstasy within oneself, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena Santaksadaiva Radiyesha Vilokayanti, that one can actually see Shyama Sundara within the core of one's heart, then the ecstasy is so great that it disturbs the life airs. And the life airs disturb, when the life airs are disturbed, then the different elements of the body are disturbed, like earth. When earth is disturbed, then one becomes stunned. Then the senses become stunned, because the senses become affected when the elements of the senses are disturbed. And so, when earth is disturbed, then one becomes stunned. When water is disturbed, then tears flow from the eyes incessantly. When the air is disturbed, then there's trembling, shivering in the body. And when the fire is disturbed, then there's perspiration. And when the sky is disturbed, then there's devastation. So these are manifestations of the meditation of the devotee upon Krishna. To come to that platform, we don't have to cry artificially, but we do have to take to the process of sadhana bhakti. Namely, devotional service begins with shravana dasa, hearing about Krishna. We're inviting, as Prabhupada said, we're inviting people to come just to hear about Krishna. Now, it doesn't mean when we're talking about Krishna, then automatically we're actually in ecstasy. Imperceivably, we're getting benefit, we're on a different level of experience than mundane experience. But because we're not so conscious, therefore we're not sometimes perceiving the difference between material consciousness and just hearing about Krishna. As a matter of fact, sometimes when we don't like what we're hearing, we just zoom, what do they call that? Zoom out? Zone out? You go into Never Never Land, which some people think is the promised land, the land that Maya is promising us. But if we just hear about Krishna, Shravanandasa, and try to keep good association and give up material attachments, then the result is that gradually these things are understood, what we're hearing about, their experience. That's called varna dasa, the stage of acceptance. Acceptance doesn't mean blind acceptance. It means that we're actually realizing what we're hearing. Tesham sadatam yugdhanam bhajantam priti purvagam. As we apply what we're hearing, as we become more steady in our sadhana, in our service, as we become at least performing our service with care and attention, if not with enthusiasm, if not with affection, if not with love, Then as we do that, the Dhamma Buddhi Avantam. Krishna gives us intelligence. Intelligence, what kind of intelligence? By which we can actually understand what we're doing. It becomes realized knowledge. And when it's realized, we accept it. It becomes obvious and clear. As Prabhupada says, blind following and absurd inquiries condemned. That once you not only hear submissively, but once you get a clear understanding through submission and service and inquiry. So the more we apply what we've heard about, then the more Krishna gives us intelligence and experience what we're hearing about. Then, another stage is actually taking our sadhana seriously and then learning how to associate with the devotees, sadhu sangha, in such a way as that we become more receptive to what they're telling us. Unless we're prepared to be the servant of the devotees appropriately by becoming the servant of the best devotee and therefore under his direction serving all the other devotees appropriately, we won't be able to hear it clearly. Unless we're prepared to serve someone, we won't be prepared to hear them. Because they might tell us something we don't like. Like, can you do this for me? No, forget it. Now you made me feel bad because I'm not doing it. You rascal. So unless we actually have a service attitude, we're not really prepared to hear very well. Oh, we only hear what we want to hear. So associating with the devotees and the loving exchanges will actually increase our hearing, and increasing our hearing, increasing our... Well, that itself is the major activity for a devotee, to increase one's love for Krishna. And then Krishna gives it even more intelligence. What kind of intelligence? How to become more expert in loving exchanges with the devotees. We're not simply trying to become expert at eating prasad or even cooking prasad, although that helps. But we're also trying to become expert at serving prasad and accepting prasad. Also expert at telling people about our understanding about Krishna consciousness, which is appropriate for them, and also hearing from them about what they've understood about Krishna. And telling people who are appropriately, well, offering them the gift of Krishna consciousness and accepting from others the gifts of Krishna consciousness. So these loving exchanges, when they're properly exchanged, further our ability to actually absorb our consciousness in Krishna in a steady, consistent, deeper way. And as we become enthusiastic to associate with the devotees, then we become enthusiastic to make others into devotees also. And therefore we're willing to dedicate our energies in the missions, the ministries, the services of Krishna consciousness, to expand Krishna consciousness. So then our different talents and abilities and inspirations are utilized in Krishna's service, and therefore one is more steadily, more enthusiastically engaged in Krishna's service. And therefore one's ability to hear deepens, and one's experience of Krishna also deepens. And then the happiness also deepens proportionally. And then one comes to the stage of smarna, there are five stages of progressive Krishna smarna, or remembering Krishna, beginning with simply smarna. Sometimes remembering Krishna. Sometimes we think we're a pure devotee because sometimes we think about Krishna. But that's the beginning, to think about Krishna. And smarana, and dharana, dhyana, anusmriti, and samadhi. That is, at first, Krishna consciousness, remembrance of Krishna, is sporadic, and then it proceeds uninterruptedly at the stage of dharana. And we think of a particular pastime of Krishna. Or we just think of Krishna's pastimes in general. And in dhyana, then uninterrupted, we concentrate on some pastimes of Krishna, and it proceeds uninterrupted, our remembrance of Krishna, and deepens. And in the state of Dharana Anusmriti, then although we're concentrating on some path, signs of Krishna, and consistently we're concentrating and then continuously getting deeper and deeper. And finally, samadhi, when there is ever-expanding remembrance of Krishna and ever-deepening remembrance of Krishna. And then one comes to the stage of Sampati Das Bhava. One understands one's eternal relation with Krishna. So these things, as I said, as Krishna, the Prabhupada said that there's a transcendental television within our heart, and when we turn on to channel Krishna and start watching Krishna television in our heart, experiencing Krishna television, then the ecstasy increases and the life area has a tendency to become disturbed, which disturbs the elements of the body, which disturbs the different sense activities, which manifest themselves in the different sattvika bhavas, as is anubhava, the sattvika bhava, vyavichari bhakta, vibhava, and sanchari bhava. So these are different kinds of ecstasies, and combined together, that's called rasa. Now we should know the science, but we should know the processes to get there. Unless we know where we're going, what we're trying to go to, we'll never become inspired to go there. Unless we know that what our goal is, we won't make any steps to achieve it. If you get in your car and you start driving, and you don't know where you're going, then you're not going to get anywhere. You become an expert driver, but if you don't know how to get where you're going, what's the difference how expert you are at driving? Or, if you become an expert driver, but you have the wrong map to where you're trying to go, that's also useless. Say you have a map of Melbourne, and you're trying to find some place in Sydney, and you're driving around to figure out where this place is in Sydney, and using your map for Melbourne, and you can't find the place. So you call up your friend and say, I can't find this place. Well, your friend says, well, just think positive. That's the secret. Just think positive. So you keep on driving, and you can't find the place, and you call up your friend and you say, just chant Hare Krishna. Just think positive. Go faster. You're going too slow. So you speed up. You're thinking really positive. I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there. Mind over matter. And you still can't find the place. Because you have the wrong map. First of all, you have the wrong right map. And then you'll find out how to get to the place you're trying to get. So without Prabhupada's books, we have no map, we're simply blind. And we may imitate, we may concoct our own ideas. We may not even know where we're trying to go to. Just like there are many religions, they have some conception of God, not very deep. But they want to go to heaven. But what is their conception of heaven? If you ask them, what is heaven? What will they tell you? Does anyone know what the conception of heaven of the, say, the Christians are? Is it a place where they're playing harps and horns all day long? What else do they do? Anyone who want to become expert at music, go to heaven? Get harp lessons and horn lessons forever. No, it's very vague, but we know where we're trying to go to. We've heard descriptions what it's like. Now the question is whether we're going to try to go there, going to the process, that's recommended. And the process is there in Prabhupada's books. It's not going to be there simply by thinking, I'm sincere, I'm sincere, I'm sincere. I'm driving in Melbourne, in Sydney, I have a Melbourne map, but I'm sincere, so I'm going to get there. No, we actually have to find out. Sincere means I'll find out how to get there. If I'm really sincere to get there, then I'll take to the process to get there. That's how I'll show my sincerity. I'll get the right map and I'll follow it. That's sincerity. So the conclusion is, we want to come to the platform of experiencing transcendental pleasure, and there's a process of doing it. And we take to the process, gradually, step by step, hear, try to understand, accept, apply. Then we'll get Krishna's mercy. And then we'll find out our sphere of activities is actually this developing loving exchanges between the devotees, serving the innocent by the propagation of Krishna consciousness through ministries, and then becoming qualified preachers so we can explain perfectly, adequately, appropriately the science of Krishna consciousness to different audiences and inspire them also to take up the process of devotional service. In other words, act as an instrument of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his mission. And the more we do that, then the more our minds will be absorbed in Krishna, and the more naturally ecstasy will be there. Although the advanced devotees may be always in ecstasy, but they don't want to show that ecstasy. It's not really going to be beneficial. But sometimes it becomes so overflowing that they cannot hide how ecstatic they are in their meditation in Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
And on the point of genuine ecstasy as opposed to imagining or pretending to be in a state of ecstasy, you know that the nature of the soul is seeking bliss. And so when we leave the mundane world, our mundane life behind, to join the spiritual community, the tendency is to search for bliss. And, you know, like a new devotee, we call it pure devotee syndrome, where we're imagining so many ecstasies. But the tendency of the soul is to search for ecstasy anyway. So if we're not on an actual platform where we experience real ecstasy, how is that nature used properly? Like on a fundamental level, on a neophyte level, desire to search for ecstasy.
Well, I don't know, let's try. Most people are searching for freedom from distress. I don't know about how many people are, most people, when they buy their iPhone or their iPad, are not expecting, as soon as they turn it on, they'll be in ecstasy. But the intense hankering for the iPhone is alleviated when you get one. So you're less in distress. So I don't think someone may come to the movement, but whatever actual happiness will be there, there's happiness in just chanting Hare Krishna. If you chant enough rounds, you'll actually feel intoxicated to some extent by just anyone by associating with Krishna. Now, rolling on the ground won't give you any more happiness than just chanting some rounds. It's not that you got to roll on the ground and the happiness increases as you roll on the ground. It may be good exercise. It may rip your dhoti. You may feel an anxiety that my dhoti is ripped in the middle of the public. But that's not involuntary sattvika bhava. As Prabhupada said, in Vrindavan, because Vrindavan is a place where people come and they want to show everyone what great devotees they are. So sometimes people will come and they start rolling on the ground and crying during the kirtan. And the devotees didn't know what to do, so they went to Prabhupada and asked him, what should we do? These people are coming, they're rolling on the ground during the kirtan and crying. What should we do? So Prabhupada said, kick in the head. said if they're actually in ecstasy, they won't even notice it. And if they're actually pretending, then they'll get up and run. Anything else? Yes.
You mentioned about using our skills and abilities, you know, so using that for preaching. Now, how do we know that if we are going beyond and getting attracted to the ability and acquiring them, not losing track of to what extent we should?
Well, we don't remember Krishna. We don't recognize everything as Krishna's. And aren't utilizing according to Krishna's directions from Guru Sadhu and Shastra. And we're not doing our activity to please Krishna. And therefore, we're not spontaneously remembering Krishna. It means we're in Maya. So we should make some adjustments, at least in our consciousness. Or as Ridayananamaru once said, in Brazil, the devotees want to get rid of all the ladies there, send them to the forest or something. So, when Ridayananamaru, it is maybe 50 years, 40 years ago, and Ridayananamaru heard about it, he said, but if you send all the ladies out of the temple, then who are the brahmacharis dancing for? So we have to be clear what our objectives are. Yes?
Well, Maharaj, this at this point of the story, I don't have the Sanskrit things. Mentioning all these disqualifications, like he doesn't have
no attraction to Krishna, the holy name or convenience. Yeah.
He says that I'm still expecting on earth, and this is called the right.
Smukanda.
So he can't follow these things that he's talking about, and he still expects Krishna's mercy.
Can we don't have any qualities, but we still expect Krishna's mercy.
If we can't follow these procedures which you mentioned throughout the class, which is
fair,
yeah, we still expect Krishna's mercy.
Well, you'd be a fool if you expected Krishna's mercy. No, of course not. First deserve and then desire. Just like if you don't go to the university, and you're sitting at home expecting them to award you a PhD degree, you're wasting your time. You have to take to the process, go to school, become qualified, and then you'll become, get your degree. Maybe some 1 in 100 trillion people get some special mercy like that. But Krishna said he's equal to everyone. He's not giving people special mercy just because he likes the way they look. He gives mercy, as he says, Tesham Satatam Yukdanam Vajantam Pratiporukam. To those who constantly devote themselves to worship me with love, then I give them the understanding of which they come to me. So we should try to qualify ourselves. Otherwise, it's quite cheap. Krishna revealed himself to us now, took away all our material desires. Then we become quite upset. I had so many plans, he destroyed them. So Krishna's not going to do that.
If you can't follow, you should just get up and you can't follow this.
Well, you should try to follow him. It's not a very difficult process. Chanting Hare Krishna, taking prasadam, seeing the deities. We may not be so expert at controlling our senses, but we should have some faith that if we sincerely try, chant Hare Krishna, take prasad, try to read Prabhupada's books, and gradually Krishna will give us the intelligence, but we can make progress. But Krishna says, Ma Suchaha, give up all these anxieties, but we're not prepared to give up our anxiety because we don't trust Krishna, then what can Krishna do? And even when we left Krishna, material nature would smash us to encourage us to go back. So, Maya is not going to say, oh, you don't like Krishna, that's all right, take it easy for a while. So Maya says, you don't like Krishna, you don't want to take the process, well, smack, smack, smack. He had enough. He wants some more? Okay, here, whack. So we go back to Krishna again.
Anything else?
Yes.
Maharaj, in one of the your ministry's newsletters, I was reading about the emotional freedom technique, where one of the devotees wrote an article or something. Now, to what extent devotees can use those techniques to help?
You're perfectly free to use them.
But isn't that kind of contradicting, like, we are not putting faith in the process of the holy name?
Okay, so why do you take, do you ever get sick? Have you ever gotten sick?
Yeah.
Have you ever taken any medicine?
Yes.
Why did you take medicine? Why didn't you have faith Krishna would heal you?
That's at a physical level.
You take medicine for what? Emotional level? If you have some inconvenience, Prabhupada did massage every day. Should you have told Prabhupada, well, Prabhupada, you're a pure devotee, why are you taking massage? Because the body is a machine. Why put oil in your... in the car, why don't you have faith, Krishna? Krishna will have it run. Why bother putting gasoline and oil in, having a check every once in a while? Why don't you just have faith in Krishna? He'll take care of it.
Because the technique involves going through emotion, bringing it up, and then releasing it.
I don't know. It may not be applicable for everyone. It may be applicable for some people, but not for everyone.
Because that's what Ananta Nimitti, you continue the process, the anattas will go away. But then this technique is about going through it, bringing it up, and then releasing it.
There's different levels of dharma. There's offenses against the holy name. There's due to past sinful and past activities. But these are things, you know, if we can chant purely, should or not, there's no need to worry about these things. And if we can, then sometimes to help our devotional service on the level we're on, so we can do our sadhana, sometimes these may be useful. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandharaj Shaman Bhagavatam Kijai. Shri Prabhupada Kijai.